two sap, Dad. Thanks very much, Pete.
Nothing like a nice cup of tea.
Nothing like a nice cup of tea, is there, Pete?
Nothing like it, Dad.
What's that you're reading, Pete?
Oh, this is a wonderful book, Dad. It's steeped in history and everything else. It's Burke's Peerages.
Burke's Peerages? What's that, Pete?
Well, it's a brilliant idea. It's a book which contains the names of the 20,000 most noble people in the realm.
Who'd want to read that, Pete?
Well, the 20,000 most noble people in the realm. For a start. It's a superb idea. It all dates back to the 18th century, Dad, the age of reason, when, of course, the clever court reigned supreme.
Yeah.
And there was this Burke, you see.
What was his...
There was this Burke.
What was his name, Pete?
Burke. Burke was his name.
Burke?
He was one... Burke, yeah. A high-fluting Burkes, one of the great Sussex Burkes.
Yeah.
And... He was wandering about in his palatial parkland, you see, Dad, on a fine 18th century summer morning.
Yeah.
A lovely scene, as you can well imagine, the sun dappling through the trees.
Of course, one of his beautiful peacocks flaunting its exotic feathers in the sunlight.
Precisely. emitting the strange bird-like cry which sometimes comes from them. Very similar to the noise you just admitted. Oh, yeah. And suddenly...
Play it cool, boy.
No, suddenly it come to him.
What come to him, the peacock?
No, this wonderful concept come to him. He thought, why don't I get hold of the names of the 20,000 most noble people in the realm and flog it for £2 a time? He made a fortune out of it.
Of course he did, Pete. I could do exactly the same thing, though, couldn't I? I could go up Barron Road and knock on every door saying, excuse me, Mrs. Taylor, I wonder if you'd give me your name and I'll put it in a book and flog it back to you.
You'd do very well, the Barron Road Gazette.
Yeah.
Could do very nicely with that sort of thing.
Of course you could. Clean up, boy.
Of course, the whole business of ancestry is extremely fascinating. I've been into my past, you know.
Really?
Yes, I've traced myself back at Somerset House. And do you know, in primordial times, my great-great-great-great-grandfather come over with the Druids.
What, the Druids of Lymington Crescent?
Yes, George and Phoebe's ancestors.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's marvellous, isn't it? I had a bit of trouble. I went to Somerset House one morning. It was a nice morning. I thought, you know, go along to Somerset House.
Why not pop
you
down,
know,
yes.
Pop down and
get out of the sun.
Have a look at the birth certificate, you know. Makes a change, doesn't it?
Of course it does, Dad.
I went down there. I said to the gentleman behind the counter, can I have a look at my birth certificate?
Yeah.
And so he got it out, and I had a look, and it said, it had my mother's name down there, but where my father's name was supposed to be, there was nothing there. So, you know, I thought to myself, funny, you know. Mother's name here, father's name not there, you know, Fanny.
Mother, no father, birth
yeah.
certificate.
Exactly,
you
how does
need
she
the two
it?
Of them, Fanny.
Very peculiar. So I taxed my mother on this point, but she was very evasive about it.
Well, it's probably a foggy evening, wasn't it, that day? But the wonderful thing about it, the ancestry business, is, you know, we've all got a bit of noble blood in our veins.
Yeah, it's the best place for it, isn't it, Pete?
Well, it's a wonderful place for blood, Dad.
Let's keep it that way, Pete.
Let's keep it that way in this nuclear age when all the whole hydrogen hovers over us all. Exactly.
Exactly, Pete.
And do you know that we're all in line for succession to the throne?
Really?
Yes, if 48,200,701 people died, I'd be queen.
Where would I come in that, Pete?
I think 3/4 of the world has to pass away before you get it.
But, What would you do if you were Queen, Pete?
Well, I'd turn a job down. I wouldn't do it.
Really?
Too much like hard work, if you ask me.
No, I'd rather like it, you know. I'd tell you what I'd do. I'd give the MBE to Mrs. Woolley, And I'd give Aunt Dolly the Order of the Garter for services rendered to humanity.
Yeah. Your Aunt Dolly could do with a bit of decoration, couldn't she?
But, why wouldn't you like to be Queen, Pete?
Well, the trouble is, you see, you're always being looked at. Wherever you go, you're in the public eye. You go to the theatre, nobody looks at the stage, they're always looking at you. And it's like living in a goldfish bowl, Dad.
Oh, I wouldn't mind living in that goldfish bowl, Pete. I mean, that palace, it's at least twice the size of Dagenham Dye Works.
Well, it's a nice... it's a nice area, too. It's very handy for the... very handy for the West End.
West End? West End, they don't need the West End. They've got their own shops in there. They've got their own cinema. I mean, it's the only place in the West End, in the cinema, where they don't play the national anthem after the performance.
Well, that's an advantage, isn't it? Sure. But mind you, think of all the extramural expenses they have. The upkeep of the children,
yeah.
The clothing, the food for all the pets, all those royal
yeah.
pets
out. I mean, those royal corgis eat like horses, don't they, pets?
Huge appetites, not to mention the royal seals always jumping up in the ground there.
Yeah, yeah, it's a terrible
All that food life. Has to come out of their pocket,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, of course it does, Pete, yeah.
I mean, it's a very busy life. You only have to look at the royal diary to realise what a busy life it is.
Have a peep in the diary, boy.
Yes, you get an indication. You get an indication, Dad. 7:30, got up, cup of tea, got into long car, waved, opened Parliament.
Come back, had lunch with Mr. Wilson, got into long car, waved, cut ribbon, launched oil tanker.
Come back, Mr. Wilson's still there. Looking round for his briefcase containing secret measurements of CP Snow. Posed for Battle of Britain stamp, had tea with 3,000 people. Tried to meet them all.
5 o'clock, soaked right hand in methylated spirit. 6 o'clock, practice sitting on horse sideways. 7 o'clock, got into long car, waved, went to Commonwealth Dance Festival.
11:30, come home, cup of cocoa. Good night, diary.
Terrible, isn't it?
It's a very, very busy
life,
Dad.
Very busy life, that, Pete, yeah. Oh, Mr. Wilson seems to hang about a bit, doesn't he?
Well, he's always creeping round there, Dad. Of course, being a socialist, he's fascinated by all the trappings of royalty. Before he became Prime Minister, the grandest building he ever seen was the Hampstead Golf Club. He's always nipping round there, fingering the gold lamy curtains.
Stroking the statues.
Yes, casting covetous eyes on the tapestries non-stop.
Of course, you know, Harold, you know, let's face it, Pete, Harold is a bit of a drag.
He's Dragsville, Dad.
He's Dragsville. No, Dragsville-ville, Pete.
Dragsville-ville, Dad.
Yeah. On the other hand, Her Majesty does have a chance to meet some interesting people.
Well, the trouble is, you see, although they're very interesting, when they get round the palace, they're so nervous, they become boring, you see. They're overawed by the occasion. Yeah. Like the other day, when Albert Einstein, the bloke who invented gravity, he went round to collect his obe.
His what?
To collect his obe for inventing the gravity. Ah. A very interesting person and a fine mind. The Queen was looking forward to meeting him, asking him a few questions, you see.
Yeah.
So Einstein was waiting there, all tense, waiting for his medal.
Yeah.
So Her Majesty came up and stuck one on him. And said to him, "Hello, Mr. Einstein, how does all this gravity business work?"
Yeah.
And Einstein was so nervous, his teeth dropped out on the floor. Mind you, Her Majesty passed it off very lightly and said, "Ha ha, Mr. Einstein, I see gravity is at work again." And with a tinkling laugh, moved on to Tony Curtis, who was picking up a baronetcy.
That's marvellous, you see.
That's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do.
What's the time, by the way?
It's about 9:15, Dad.
Really?
And do you know, at this very moment, Her Majesty is probably exercising the royal prerogative.
What's that then, Pete?
Don't you know the royal prerogative? It's a wonderful animal, Dad. It's a legendary beast. Half bird, half fish, half unicorn.
Oh, I know. There's 1.5 of them left. I remember now.
That's right. Yeah. There's 1.5 left, and it's being exercised at this very moment.
Really?
Yes.
I remember now. Of course, yes. They feed it on a diet of honey, lychees and stewed kippers.
Yes, it's very choosy, and they also get the royal accolade, a sort of fizzy substance out of bottles.
Yeah.
And you know, the legend has it that ere so long as the royal prerogative lives, happiness and laughter will reign throughout this green and pleasant land.
And the yeomen will stand firm upon this sceptred isle, Pete.
The archers will look out o'er the dales and see happy... happy laughing children smiling.
And flaxen-haired Anglo-Saxon youths will scan the foam-flecked waves for marauders.
Rule Britannia, Britannia rules the waves.
Of course it does, Dad.
Of course it does, Pete.